Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's July 4th. It's the 4th of July, 2014. May freedom reign. Freedom will reign because bacon is going to be discussed today. So those of you that love a good BLT or sitting down on maybe a Sunday morning and having eggs and bacon, we welcome you to today, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. And I'm thinking, I didn't get to share this. And you know how I'm like a pit bull. I get something in my mouth and I won't let go of it. And you said, are you going to share that Wednesday? And I never got around to it. But this was new information for me as I've been reading different things about our freedom to pray and things about the 4th of July. But on the Liberty Bell, I didn't know that there was an inscription referencing Leviticus 25:10. And what's interesting is Leviticus, many times people say, oh, what's so unique about the book of Leviticus? I don't read it. I skip through it. It's not that important. Nope. If it's been collected as part of the inspired scriptures, it's important for us. But this was an interesting verse, and I know it's a little out of context. You'd have to almost do a whole teaching on the year of Jubilee and the Levitical laws and such. But Leviticus 25:10 is on the Liberty Bell that was rung shortly after they signed the Declaration of Independence. But the verse states, proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof. And on Wednesday, I know we talked about the liberty that we have in Christ, the redemptive plan that God extends to all of us as we follow and surrender and submit to His leading. And yet today we talk about the freedoms of our country, the freedoms that have been provided because of the shed blood of many of our troops. And yet the ultimate freedom is because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on Wednesday we referenced almost a whole teaching on that, Jason. And if you missed it, it's archived at greatnewsradio.org.
It's kind of an interesting thing if we want to talk about it for just a second. Leviticus is a book that right now is under fire, the book of Leviticus and the Levitical law, because the book of Leviticus makes some things that it prohibits and says that we cannot do. And most of you who already know, I don't have to bring it up, you know exactly what I'm talking about in terms of the redefinition or definition of what marriage is, Leviticus chapter 18. But on top of that, Leviticus makes a lot of other prohibitions, things that you cannot do. And so when people go to Leviticus and they say, well, the Bible says this about marriage, people go, yeah, but the Bible also says in Leviticus about eating shellfish, which actually pertains to our scripture today. And it also talks about these things. And so having marital relations with your wife while she's during that time of the month or those kinds of things.
Or mixing even various fabrics.
Right.
I mean, some kind of obscure.
Yeah, different. So people go and they say, well, you know, I mean, that can't stand anymore. The book of Leviticus actually makes no sense for us. What's interesting is the book of Leviticus in chapter 18, where they talk about the definition of marriage, that also talks about incest within that passage too. So then do we throw out the idea that incest is an aberration to the Lord, that the Lord abhors incest? And so the reason I bring this up is because those of us who believe, and I think it's going to be every single one of us who's in this listening range, is the arm of this signal right now, believes in liberty. And our founding fathers set their feet upon God's word and the liberty that they found in Leviticus chapter 25 in what God says. And so you can't keep some and throw some out. You can't keep one piece and throw the rest out. If you believe what our founding fathers believed about what the Levitical law says about liberty and justice and freedom, thank God for everybody. Then you have to keep the rest of the stuff that you don't like. You don't just get to, we joke with my son, we say, we don't always just serve dinner, a dinner that you like every piece of the dinner. Sometimes there will be Brussels sprouts.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there will be some things in there that are hard for you to understand, but you can't throw one thing out and then keep the other. It doesn't work that way. And so it's interesting that our founding fathers would take something from that place, Leviticus, and use it to proclaim freedom. Not only that, but stamp it on the freedom bell. And many, you know, in a movement right now are trying to, you know, proverbially ring that bell. Because they, you know, even with what we've seen recently with Hobby Lobby and those types of things, where we are fighting for this religious freedom. We're fighting for freedom. And Jesus says later on, it's for freedom that the captives have been set free. He speaks that through the Holy Spirit to Paul in the book of Galatians, that this freedom, though, it begins in the book of Leviticus. Actually, this freedom begins very early in the very first tentative chapters of the Bible, where God comes and He creates everything perfect, where man has freedoms. But there are prohibitions in there. There are, don't eat from this tree. And just like the rest of us, Adam and Eve, not that much different than the rest of us. The minute you say you can't do this, what do we immediately try to do? That thing. Again, I have kids. You say don't touch that. It's guaranteed that's the thing they're trying to touch.
Yeah, they start moving towards it. They get the. We, in fact, when we were at your house the other day, we were.
Oh, we were talking about it, weren't we?
How close can we put the finger next to the chair that we were told not to touch? And then suddenly it's almost touching it, and then they look back at you, and next thing you know, their hand is around it, and something gets broken, and it's like, oh.
Yeah, totally. That's important for us to understand, even pertaining to that argument. You can't keep one thing and throw the other things out. Now, a lot of those people who would say, well, you know, but Leviticus talks about not eating shellfish. So what, we don't have lobster and shrimp and we don't eat those things anymore? Well, these are people who are not biblically informed as to what the Bible says. Look, you can't just read the parts of the Bible that you like and not read the parts of the Bible that you don't like. You can't just study the parts of the Bible that you like and not study the parts that you don't like. Because in the parts that you don't like are the truth that makes the parts you like that much more glorious. And so what happens is, in Acts here, chapter 10, as we transition from the house of Simon the Tanner, where Cornelius the centurion is at, to Peter, Peter's going to see this amazing vision. And it says, the next day as they were on their way, on their journey, approaching the city, and what that is the servants and the devout soldiers of Cornelius, whom he shared this vision that God had given him, They go in search of Peter. It says in verse 8 of 10, having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. Why did he send them to Joppa? To go and see Peter. And the next day as they were on their journey, approaching the city, Peter went up to the housetop, up onto the roof, about the sixth hour to pray. So he went up there about 4 p.m. or so, and he went up there to begin, or noon, I'm sorry, to pray, as was custom. Said, but while he was praying, he got hungry and he wanted something to eat, and they were preparing him something to eat, but as he was waiting for that food to be done, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens open up. So this chapter 10 embodies two visions. First of all, Cornelius has a vision in which God comes down and he says to him, you're going to go and you're going to find Peter, and Peter's going to have something for you. Here, heaven opens up, something like a great sheet descending. And I love the fact that this is, it's got a picture to it, but at the same time, it is very, it's kind of a little sketchy. We don't get all the, there's rough edges around it. We don't get really sharp edges in understanding this, because I think that Peter couldn't understand it. I think Peter was maybe blown away by it. But it said, a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. In it were all kinds of animals, reptiles, and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, and listen to me, I love the Bible includes these kinds of things. Poor Peter. I mean, when Peter got to the back end of his life and he was reading the Bible, he's probably like, gosh.
How did I miss that?
I can't believe that's in there, too. You know, I mean, the rooster crowing is three times as bad enough as the denial of Jesus. But here again.
Yeah, probably as the angels and the Holy Spirit were breathing into these authors, these 40 different people that recounted all God's words, Peter's up there saying, God, do you really have to put that in there? Please don't include that one.
Well, I really do. I mean, my kind of personality, I do sometimes sit and I just have this kind of moment where I envision this conversation between Peter and Luke. You know, and Peter's like, you know, dude, I was on the rooftop and the whole thing, could you make me accept that a little better? You know, maybe not question it at all, you know, like, and then Peter stood up devoutly and accepted the word of the Lord. But that's not what happens, because Peter's exactly like us. We are a little impetuous, have a chip on our shoulder sometime, but leap before we look. Peter's like us and we're like Peter in a way. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. What Peter's trying to say is he's going, look, Lord, I love you, and because I love you, I'm devout. I am absolutely devout. There are some scholars who believe that maybe Peter here, though he sees heaven open up, though he is comforted and overwhelmed and in awe and reverence of this vision, he's worried about maybe how much of his flesh might be in that vision in that moment. And so he begins to question. Now, what I love is that the Lord doesn't go, Peter, shut up. Instead, the Lord goes, let me explain this to you. Let me tell you how this goes. But Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He's saying, I'm devout. And the voice came to him again a second time. What God has made clean, do not call common. Now, I love this. There's a thing that we do. Some churches do it 4 Sundays. Some churches do it 2 Sundays. Some churches do it 1 Sunday a month. It's called the Lord's Supper, the communion, we would call it. But in the early church, they called it the common table. I love that the Lord here says, what God has made clean, do not call common. And that means that, look at, when you get saved, that's what the Eucharist and the communion table, the common table, is a reminder of. It's a reminder that you are no longer common. That when you have been made clean, 2 Corinthians 5:17, that you're a new creation, the old is gone and the new is here. When you have been made clean by God, you are no longer common. You are no longer common. And the battle would be by the enemy, was to make you believe that you're still common. And he does that through condemnation. You're not good enough. You're not fast enough. You're not smart enough. You're not this. You're not that. And he wants to continue to make you feel common and mundane and indifferent, because that's the way he gets you. Look at the greatest weapon the enemy has for us is our own complacency, where he gets us to sit down and fall asleep in places where we should stand up and be vigilant, because we're fighting not just for our national liberty, but the liberties that have been taken and given to us by the cross, where Jesus has bought and purchased victory for us by his blood. We talked about that earlier in the week. You can listen to that archive program on Wednesday. Jesus has purchased our liberty, our freedom from the cross. And listen, today on the 4th of July, when we celebrate the independence of this country, I want to tell you this. I love America, because America, what a great institution. Freedom, freedom of speech, the flag. I thank God that I'm an American. But if at any point my being an American, if at any point the flag trumps the cross, I'm in dangerous territory. Because the work of Christ is bigger, because it is eternal, it is not momentary. America and the flag and this thing is finite, and God in his work through the cross is infinite. And so I thank God for America, but the flag never gets to trump the cross. And so here we find that suddenly Peter is liberated from something that before had kind of bound him up, what he could and could not do, what he could and could not eat. Mark joked at the beginning, because on this sheet was probably some pig, probably some bacon. And this is a great moment, because prior to this moment, I'm just gonna be funny for a minute. Prior to this moment, I don't think Peter walked past a pig pen and goes, if I just put some barbecue sauce on that back end, that would taste so good. And in this moment, suddenly Peter's like, bacon? Wait. What things could we wrap bacon with? Everything. Everything.
Pancakes, you name it.
You have a fight with your wife, wrap her in bacon. It's all better. I'm kidding, maybe. But the point is that God is liberating Peter from something that he's allowed himself to become enslaved to.
Yeah, and I think of the legalism. He was following in fact, that's why it's so funny when he says, but God, I've never done anything impure or unclean. Well, certainly he has, but he was really saying, I've been so, like Paul, I followed the letter of the law. I've been very legalistic in this, and certainly you can't be changing your mind or saying it's okay now to eat bacon or these impure animals.
Look at our idolatry. Always starts from good things. I love my wife, but if I'm not careful, I can become idolatrous to my love for my wife and our marriage, to the point where I fixate on that and I don't fixate on the God and creator who sustains my marriage, who teaches me how to love my wife, and who guides and leads my marriages through all seasons.
And who gave you your wife.
Who gave me my wife. So what happens to Peter here is Peter has become a slave to his devotion. How many of you go to church and for a long time it's been an opening hymn, a prayer, the announcements, three songs, the message, another prayer, and you're done. And the one weekend when suddenly there was only two songs, not three, or four songs and not three, you blew a gasket. You're like, wait, what's going on? What happened? You know what happened? Is that you've become a slave to tradition and a slave to your devotion, and you are not open, you have not left yourself open to the fact that God's going to do something totally outside of your understanding. God's going to do something and you're not going to understand it because you're so used to this path. You know, I love that Henry David Thoreau said, and, you know, obviously he's not a biblical writer, but I love that he said this. He said, I took the path less traveled. And you know why he did that? Because in that path, he didn't know everything. When you go somewhere and you don't know everything, you're astounded by all kinds of things. I think about the vacation we took recently, and there was one part of the vacation where we thought we were going to go here, but we said, well, I think we should go this way. And there was about an hour or so, maybe, that we didn't know where the heck we were. We knew roughly where we were on the map. We were like in the Smoky Mountains, so the GPS on the phone didn't work anymore because nobody out there has cell service. I don't know what they're doing with themselves.
Yeah.
But suddenly you didn't have all these things, so we didn't really know where we were. And you know what we did? We spent more time going, wow, look at that. Look at that. Oh, my gosh, look at that. Because we weren't a slave to what we thought had to happen. And here, Peter had been a slave to his devotion. In fact, that's what he says to God. God, I've always been devoted to you. I still am devoted to you. And I'm hard-pressed to leave that devotion because I think there's only one way. In fact, you got to love Peter's tenacity. Because the tenacity of Peter, like to deny Christ three times, that's his tenacity at work. The fact here, listen to what it says again. It said this in verse 16. This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. So what happens three times? This exchange between Peter and God. So Peter goes, no, God, I won't eat anything unclean because I love you. Nothing has been clean that is unclean that I... And Peter goes, God, I will not eat anything unclean. And God's going, he's looking at Jesus and he's going, it's Peter again. Peter, it's Peter.
This is going to probably take three times.
Jesus is going, the guy's a kind of a headache. He's a loose cannon, but he's amazing at what he's going to do. He preached and 3,000 people came to faith in Acts chapter 2. So, I mean, you can't deny the power of Peter's tenacity. But you know what? Sometimes our tenacity to do those things causes us in other places to create some stumbling blocks for ourselves. And God here is opening up the door. He's opening up the door for the Gentiles to be able to come to faith. He's opening up the door for the Jews to be able to... He's bringing two people groups together because that's what God is always about. God is always about uniting people back together. And so he's liberating Peter, not just from the law and from legalism, but he's liberating Peter from himself. And don't you need that? I mean, let's be honest. Don't you need that? Don't you need to know that it's okay that today you only got through one verse of your Bible reading and that was enough and that was okay? Instead of feeling like a failure because you didn't read six pages, isn't it enough that you woke up and prayed to God Almighty? Maybe you didn't get that hour that you'd like where you light a candle and you do those kinds of things, but that you just were able to do that. You know what? Because God is not worried about the time you spend in devotion because, by the way, a day is like 1,000 years to God. So if you spent all day praying, he's like, boy, 1,000 years and they ain't done nothing but praying. Listen, I don't think he cares about the time. I think he cares about the heart in which you use the time that you have. And so if your time is worrying about, am I unclean? Am I not unclean? Have I done this? Have I done that? And God goes, you know what? There's nothing that's made clean that is common anymore. You're not common anymore. Stop trying to be common. Stop trying to sell yourself over into commonality. Start living a different way. I mean, my challenge to each and every one of you, it's been a season of life where God has been taking me through personally, so I speak from experience and not ignorance, is this idea that, you know what, I arrive at church now thinking, I wonder what the Holy Spirit's going to do this morning. Now, I had always kind of thought that, but now I'm expectant of it. I'm looking for it because I have an awe and reverence at what God might do, what he might liberate me from, liberate you from, liberate us from on a Sunday morning or all throughout the week, how God might blow up our tradition and use our devotion to him, not to the things of this world, that to liberate us from things that have bound us.
And I'm thinking you shared this a little bit on Wednesday, capturing the truth that he's singing over us, that he delights in us.
Yeah.
And that's just a concept that most of us just don't grapple with because it's too lofty to think that Almighty Sovereign, the greatest entity in the whole universe, delights in us, sings over us, wants to engage in a relationship, loves on us. I mean, it's hard to grasp.
Yeah, well, how about this? You're exactly right. It's hard to grasp. How do I understand it? Some of you are listening right now and you're going, okay, so I'm not going to be a slave to my devotion. And when I get to church, I mean, I don't understand then how does it work? What happens? Hey, you're in good company because as you go on and you read, it says, now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius came, having made inquiry for Simon's house, and they stood at the gate. So the Bible is very clear that Peter was perplexed. He didn't know what to do with this thing. He questioned God three times. God goes, no, I'm liberating you from this. And Peter inside was going, well, what do I do with myself then? I mean, what do I do with myself? Now, those of us who are on this side of the cross, who through sanctification and salvation, we know he should have had some bacon. He should have had him a BLT, wrapped some chocolate in bacon. Who knows what? He should have had some brisket. I got a whole list of things Peter should have done in this
probably
moment.
Probably coffee, and you still are wondering about me.
But inwardly, Peter was perplexed, just like you. You know what? I'm inwardly perplexed sometimes every weekend because I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know what God's going to do. But you know what I do know? I do know this. 3 weeks ago, I shared a message, and a woman got up after the message with two pages that she had written while I was giving the message. Her testimony about what God is doing in her life, and then she got up and asked if she could share that. So at the end of our service, she got up and she shared what God is doing in her heart and how he's blowing up her past hurts and producing in her a joy that she didn't know that she had. I don't know. That wasn't in the program. That wasn't in the bulletin. That wasn't in the order of worship. But it was in God's plan and his providence to do that, because he was going to liberate somebody and set the captives free. And if we get too tight into what we believe, what's going to happen is that person's going to walk up to me and go, I want to share what God's doing in my life. And I'm going to go, well, you know, actually, we're really devoted to the time management here and the order of worship, and that's not on there. So if you could save that for next week, maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that instead. Because you know what? I've always been devoted and good to what God has called me to do, and miss what God is actually doing in that moment, mm-hmm. which is cracking somebody open for the gospel and showing us what wholeness and shalom, showing us what it looks like when God draws people near to himself. Because listen, God doesn't draw you near to himself for no reason. He draws you near to himself so that he can liberate you from the things that you are allowing to separate you from him.
And by liberating you, that liberation can then catch fire on others.
Look at this woman got up and she shared a testimony, and there were people who were sitting there who had tears in their eyes while she was sharing parts of her testimony, and they were being liberated. She was fighting a battle bigger than she even knew. In her weakness, she thought she was simply sharing. What she didn't know is she was battling. And so we need to realize that, because Peter even here is perplexed. He doesn't understand it. And listen, we don't have to understand everything. The Bible tells us God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Who can know the plans of God? Man makes his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. Your Father is in heaven. He does as he pleases. And if we get to that place where we really understand those verses, we'll understand a reverence. We'll have a reverence and awe for God in his holiness that we'll struggle with in our humanity. And thank God that in that moment, praise God for that, because Jesus will comfort us in that.
A lot to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ and Almighty God for on this 4th of July. I hope you can continue to stay in and allow our devotional thoughts, our ministry of music. We'll have a number of patriotic selections airing all day long today, especially on 89.3 FM. We'll have a number of radio spots talking and proclaiming about the freedom we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you all draw near to God today as he draws near to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and happy 4th of July.